Hello and welcome to the Blood Brothers Podcast. I'm Ben Steiger, your host, and joining me today is my good friend, Larry Ramey. Larry, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So Larry and I just finished filming a lesson for season two or series two of the Everyman Challenge videos, and his lesson was on loving others. We had some extra time. And I was thinking, gosh, it would be great to record a podcast with my friend. And so he was certainly willing to do so. But, you know, Larry, I think about, you know, a lot of what we've been talking about over the last couple of days of why I came down to begin with, the catalyst was to film a lesson of you communicating truth to who knows how many men will watch this lesson in the future. Could be one, but it'll probably be more.
At least two.
And, you know, we filmed a lesson revolving around loving others, you know, heart, mind, soul, strength, loving others. And gosh, your guy's life is just exemplifies that. And by no means are you perfect, even though you got a pretty perfect beard. You know, none of us are perfect, but anyways, I really appreciate you guys and really look forward to see what this time has. But anyways, you were on Blood Brothers staff for a period of time, mm-hmm. And you know, as you shared in the podcast, or sorry, in the video lesson, you know, a lot of things led you to down here in Florida, but you've been down here in Florida for almost going on 2 years.
Yep, just under.
Yep. And it's a new life for you guys. But why don't you share some about just your story about coming on staff, about kind of how that happened, and then just kind of what's transpired over the last couple of years.
All right. You want me to share the selfie story or?
Yeah, dude, go with the selfie story. That was great.
So as Ben said, the beginning, how I got introduced to Blood Brothers was, as many of you will find out, you'll get invited from a friend that just wants you to be part of something great. It doesn't mean that they see a need or that you're broken, but they want you to have fun and to be with other guys and build yourself up. And I was lucky enough to have a friend to do that, and went through the entire Blood Brothers, and the final event was held at Ben and Myla's property in a barn. And excuse me, Ben mentioned he's never done this before, but he feels that there's someone in the room that has a heart to help carry this ministry forward. And I had already been thinking, like, man, I would love to be a part of this. And then when he said that, I thought, well, man, is he talking to me? And he said that if it's you, just stay seated and talk to me at the end of this. So I don't know, there's probably 50, 60 guys in the barn, and one by one, they either get up to walk out of the barn or some are talking around, but no one is staying seated. So I'm like, well, I guess maybe it is me. So I walk up to Ben and I don't know what to expect, but he says to me, do me a favor, walk out of the barn, take a selfie, take 90 seconds, not a minute more, just 90 seconds, and give a little snippet of yourself and send it to me and I'll be in touch. So the joke is on me because I've never taken a selfie before, ever. And the thought of taking a selfie and then zoop, send it to another dude, I'm like, well, here it goes, we did it. And so a few days go by and I'm communicating with my wife about, man, I don't want this to go stale, but I haven't heard from him, so I really don't know what that means. Maybe I didn't write enough, I wrote too much truth. And that little snippet, is it gonna work out? And but my wife encouraged me just to go outside and call. So I walk outside, and we have chickens in a nice backyard in Ohio, and I sit down and get ready to call. I'm nervous, and whoop, here comes this text from Ben that says, hey man, pleasure to meet you. Why don't you show up at property on Tuesday for staff meeting, and we'll kind of go from there and see how all this goes. And that's kind of how it started, was first going through the challenge and surrendering a little bit, having the courage from not only Ben's encouragement and my wife to, hey, make this call, and of course he beat me to it, to going to the staff meeting, and that's kind of how the ball got rolling.
Yeah, you know, going back to you know, that pause in between in between your selfie. And I was like, I can't believe this guy actually did it. Took a selfie. No, I'm kidding. Man, there was just this level of, I wanted to make sure that it was God making this happen. That it wasn't me, it wasn't you, it wasn't anything, but it was God, you know? And so I'm like, all right, Father, if this is you, I'm not gonna push it. I'm not gonna make this happen. I'm not gonna force this into existence. And you know, the kind of that slow play, like it wasn't intentional, other than just saying, all right, you're right. It was intentional. You're right, it was. It's like, man, if this guy is serious, and if God's calling on his life, he's not going to be able to get away from it. And that was kind of the, all right, yeah, intent. Yeah. And
this is the first time he shared. This is a therapy, friends therapy. Appreciate the honesty.
Right, right. You know, but, you know, so often we can, like, try to force things that we think that should be into existence. And sometimes, man, we do. And we end up getting ourselves in a corner, or just in a place that is unhealthy, and our way over God's way. Ultimately, everything works for God's way. You know, but, man, I don't want to live outside of, you know, his parameters, right? I don't want to be one of those guys that God says, don't do what Ben did. You know, like, absolutely, there are going to be things that God says, don't do what Ben did. But I hope, by and large, God can say, all right, he's jacked up, but he knows the one that has it all figured out. Follow Ben. So, you guys, and, you know, it's not unfortunate, because it's God's perfect timing, and I just see it clearer and clearer the more that time goes by and the more stories that I heard. But your time on staff was short-lived. Yeah, and
six
it
months,
was
8 months,
it maybe. Was sad. I was like, what? But it wasn't a what, like, I can't believe you're doing that. It's a what, you know, to God, like, all right, you know. Because I could clearly see what God was doing in your life, because we live authentic lives, you know, and that's something that we value at Blood Brothers as staff. And you're not allowed to not be real, you know, and be on staff. Like, we're going to dig in, you know, and we're going to know what's going on in each other's life. And so knowing you were going through this process, but kind of explain to our listeners just kind of what went on. You know, you were a retired firefighter, you and Alicia were married, and you guys had this great life and gym ownership, and had recently sold it, and now we can do whatever we want to do, empty nesters, you know, like.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We were in a very good place, both as a couple, spiritually, everything was kind of in line. And part of the trip to Florida was just to spend more time with her parents, because many, with owning the gym and I was still working at the fire department, it was really hard to have quality time. It ended up being like a little 3 and 5 day getaways during like holiday times. Mm. So we thought, you know, we're going to go there for 2 weeks and we're just going to love on them and just see what we can do with them and go from there. So we land, we Ubered to her parents' house, and we walk in, and I always get emotional telling this part, because Papa's been, which is my father-in-law, he's been influential in my marriage, in my life, and boy, did he look frail. It looked like in the 4 months since we've seen him, he'd aged a decade. And I knew if I recognized it, my wife certainly recognized it. And my brain, I'm like, okay, this is vacation. We want to love on him, but in my selfish manner, it was St. Patty's Day. I had just recently retired from the fire service, so I'm like, I want to go out and have a couple beers, you know. And so after a little visit, we were upstairs putting our clothes away, and I'm kind of asking my wife, you know, do you want to go to lunch first with your parents? Do you want to, you know, go downtown? What would you like to do? And I realized, like, I'm not getting an answer. And I looked over my shoulder, and my wife's sitting on the edge of the bed, and our eyes meet, and she's got these alligator tears. And I knew right then, I looked at her and I was, we're moving to Florida, aren't we? Mm. And she stands up and gives me a big hug. And she said, I know it's asking a lot, but not only do we need to be here, but we need to do it within 45 days. Mm. And I just got chills. Mm. So yeah, the realization hit quick. So instead of, you know, having some green beer that day, we decided to go to lunch with them. And but before that, I took a walk, and I walked around the cul-de-sac at their house while they were kind of getting ready. And I made a couple phone calls. And one was to a friend of mine that I had worked with for several years, who was a realtor, and he retired from the fire department, and just said, hey man, this is what's going on. We have a couple rentals in our primary house. I think we're moving to Florida, we're gonna do it pretty quick. Can you kind of start the ball rolling so that we know how long this is gonna take and all that? He said, yeah, but let me call you back. I have an idea. So hang up the phone, picked up the phone and called these folks that wanted to buy the gym a little bit ago, like 6 months prior, and I called them and they were ready to move right away. So they had a big change, they were ready. And in that time frame, my buddy called me back and he said, hey, I have an investor that is ready to move on your properties, pay cash 15% above market value, and close in 14 days. Ooh, that's some walk. And again, you know, my walk was a little prayer and just trying to figure out where all this is headed. So instead of coming back and going to lunch, I came back and I shared with my wife what was going on. So we actually climbed in a car and went to lunch with her parents, and we started thinking about what it would be like and what difference we could make with them and in their lives while we were in Florida. And we just started driving around West Chase to figure out, you know, where we should live, because we've been here many, many years, but we would destination-wise, you know, mm-hmm. we'd go to their house and then travel around, but not around the area to say, hey, what neighborhoods do you recommend? And everything moved so fast. I mean, it was truly like we had the surrender and faith to take a step, and then four steps would be gifted to us. It would just happen, and then it did that time and time again. Mm-hmm. All up into pulling in to Florida. We left our vacation April 1st, and on May 6th, we pulled in for full time. So everything happened just so quickly, kind of mind-boggling. It took a while for my mind to catch up with, mm-hmm. with where my physical body was. So that's kind of a quick synopsis of how that mm. fell into place.
Man, that's incredible, you know, like... I'll be honest with you, it took me a couple months, maybe more, to understand you, that it is like for real and legit how much you really love people, because it seemed too good to be true, that I felt like for the longest time you were putting on a facade. It, just because in this world there aren't people that love like that. And dude, I have come to know it through and through that it is just so true and genuine, a love and a care. And it's not just those close to you. It is for humanity. It is for every person that you can possibly help and love on. And, you know, at times do your fault, right? And you've developed boundaries over time. But, gosh, you are an incredible dude. And, you know, to fit into this loving other theme for the series, it's just not by chance. And you're inspiring, man. You inspire me and you encourage me in our time. Mila's been here with me this week. Our time with you and Alicia has just been so encouraging. But it's incredible, you know, when somebody surrenders to the process, just God's provision. You know, people so often don't get it and they don't understand it. You know, they feel like at times their prayers don't get answered. Well, other people's prayers do. And so often people give up right before God's getting ready to see this big breakthrough. And what you guys did was so significant that there was no going back. It was, you know, it's like a missionary going overseas, out of country or whatever, where, all right, God, you got to see us through this. And that's where you position yourself, so much so that there were even days when you're like, what am I doing here? You know, like, even though you love people, it doesn't mean that you're void of those emotions and those frustrations, the sadness and longing. But what was some of that like for you?
It's hard to put into words. When you know you're doing the right thing, your heart hasn't quite caught up with where you are, meaning I knew we were here for the right reasons, but it was missing everyone. I kind of felt like I was on an island or lost. Like, we're here, now what exactly is my purpose? What does my everyday look like? I'm here to make a difference. How do I do that? Right. How do I start that? The longing for blood brothers here, friends. You know, how do you meet good people? You know, in these days, like, you know, it was difficult. You know, I had my wife there with me, obviously, that made everything okay. You know, and then seeing her with her parents. I mean, I would step back many times and watch that interaction, and that would get me to the next day. And then they would ask more and more of me, which gave me purpose. And then very early on, we were blessed to get introduced, and I won't bore you with the story, but guys, just know that the step process to meet the folks, Jen and Warren Blackbeard, that are now started the church that we had worked 6-8 months to help build, how that occurred, how that process happened, was 100% God's intervention. Yeah. I mean, the little snippet is we were in an Airbnb that was not suitable for life when we arrived. Mm. So we had to make a change. So we weren't even in the Airbnb we're supposed to be, which sent us a whole another side of town. We get there and within 45 minutes take a walk, found a faith-based gym, which invited us to their church, that they didn't even show up that Sunday, but the folks we were supposed to meet were, and that was Jen and Warren. And that happened 2 days after we arrived. So, you know, the process, it's hard to put into words because a lot of it is just belief. It's like, okay, tomorrow's gonna show me something else I can do. Mm. And I'm almost glad that it didn't happen, you know, like I didn't come here with 100% it lined out in front of me. Mm-hmm. 'Cause letting it unfold and allowed me to grow more trust and surrender more and more and more as that time went on. Yeah. And that's all purpose. I mean, that's not happenstance, you know, and here we are today and, you know, just trying to grow the kingdom, grow the church. And we got blood brothers now involved in two of the campuses. And again, like my reason to be on staff is now, you know, there's the view. It's to bring it to Florida and then grow from there.
Yeah, and you told me that's what you wanted to do. And I said, well, that'd be great, you know, but just knowing, like, dude, life is crazy.
He wasn't excited, folks. He looked at me and said, that would be great. And I'm like, oh.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember it because I thought, yeah, let's do it. Let's lay out a plan. I was like, no, that would be great, Larry.
Well, forgive me, please. You know, it's like, and that is at times my skepticism that is not healthy. You know, looking back on it, gosh, dude, God had such an incredible plan. And at times I allow the lies of the world to trump what God is doing in and around my life and my ministry, to the extent that sometimes I cut them off. And praise God for your faithfulness and your say, oh, I'm not going to let that detour me.
Well, maybe that was my motivation. I'm going to show him.
You know, like, and, you know, like, going back through this story, it seems like when you made that step to say, let's get Blood Brothers started down here, and you started to develop that brotherhood and deep relationships, you started to see that pathway forward down here where you're like, okay, not only do I see a path to make this work, but I see a path to make this fulfilling and enjoyable. And you wouldn't have experienced that if you hadn't experienced it through your surrender. All right, God, trust in you. You know, but none of that would have happened either if you just sat there and waited. You know, wait upon the Lord. But, you know, my friend Dave Brown says, wait upon the Lord, but work your butt off in the meantime. Yeah, you know, yeah. And you're not a lazy man. You are a go-getter. And, man, I admire you, just so appreciate you. And you were telling a story the other day about cutting a guy out of a car. You know, you're at an intersection, and you and Ethan working with you, you guys hear an accident, you think, and you go a little farther, you see a car turned upside down and people gathering around, and let's go help. You know, like, you can't resist. Like, it's just God's, like, gift to you is to just be there to help how you can. And you end up cutting this guy out of the car. He falls on top of you. And, well, hello.
Yeah, we got to know each other real quick.
And you're a hero in so many ways, brother.
No, you're too kind.
Just so appreciate you. But, you know, God's provision is so incredible when we put ourselves out there. And so many people won't get to experience that. They won't get to experience the freedom, the fulfillment, and purpose. And when I say fulfillment, like, that is just, like, brimming, overflowing. You know, so much so that you can't keep it in. So many people won't experience that because they won't take the steps of obedience and surrender. And they'll delay and they'll push it away. And you guys are just experiencing God's faithfulness step after step. And that's just going to continue to grow and embolden your faith and influence others. But parting words for our listeners. Would you have any, you know, people that are called into something that's hard and they know it? What would you say to them? They might be struggling, or they might be, let's do it.
I guess the first thing I want to say is I'm 100% your average dude that is fractured and broken, have made incredible mistakes in my life, and but it's part of those mistakes that I carry with me, but I don't carry them forward. And what I mean by that is I allow my faith to keep whispering in my ear, keep moving. And I think the Lord wants us to move. He doesn't want us to sit still. So if you're in a place that you don't know what to do, the answer is to do something. You know, pray more Jesus, more time with the Father. It's going to open up what you're supposed to do. I mean, I had so many questions moving to Florida, and it was through communication with my wife, through prayer together, prayer alone. You know, she had her focus, which was her parents, and for me, I needed to be able to live. We had to have an income, so how do I start that? And it was just through prayer and move. Mm. And I think through those two things, that's what's going to open up, you know, the doorway or the pathway before you. And that doesn't mean it's going to work the first time. You're going to learn what maybe you don't want or what doesn't work, and that's just as important as what does.
Yeah.
And then when you find that path that is fulfillment in your heart and you just know that it's right, then just put your head down and go to work, because that's where you're supposed to be. And the influence will come. I don't set out every day to influence people. I just want to live my life the best way that I can, and just the what comes with that is people want to come along you, want to come alongside, and they want to love on Jesus as much as you are. And then I just keep chasing that person who's loving on Jesus more than me, and I just keep following. And then you look back, and there's all these men that say, come on, let's do it. And so my advice would be just move. Just keep moving.
I love it. Well, you keep moving. And when I think about last night, we went to listen to my brother-in-law band, some other songwriters, and there was a song that says, jump with you or jump with me, you know. But you know, it's a big brother writing this story to his younger brother, who his younger brother's scared to make some decisions. And his big brother says, man, I believe in you. I'm going to jump with you. You go, I'm going to jump with you. Yeah. You know, and that's what I want to be, you know, with where Jesus leads me, where my brothers go. But knowing that, dude, that's what Jesus does for us every time we respond in obedience. He jumps with us, mm-hmm. you know. So, again, I want to, and I want to ask for your forgiveness for my lack of trust in you. And I also want to ask the Father's forgiveness, because it's more of a spiritual issue for me, because I can see now how I allowed the world to jade my perspective of something that God was doing. And yeah, I had hopes that it was true, but it was almost detrimental. You know, like you for the first time, you know, you shared, first time I shared, and then you shared, you remember specifically how I responded. And dude, I don't want to be that guy. I want to be that encourager and that I'm going to jump with you kind of dude. So I do ask for your forgiveness, and I do need to say that to you. So.
Well, I appreciate that, but know that I'm the type of guy, and it's probably not a positive characteristic, but if someone doesn't support or the exact opposite, then I'm like, oh, okay, let's go to work.
That's so, how our God works, man.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's probably exactly what I needed. I'm like, I don't think Ben believes it. You know what I mean?
And hey, so. I bet you can't start 10 Brits.
You heard it here first, guys.
I fully believe that this place is going to blow up, and that God's doing something incredible. I'm just grateful for you.
So. I'm grateful for you, and I said this at the Crest of Summit. You and Myla and the kids, I mean, Mallory was there, and you guys as a family live exactly as Christ intended. Like you encourage each other, but as people watch from afar, you're doing nothing but loving on each other. But what that does is it shows us as men exactly what a leader of a family should look like, but how that leadership manifests into, you know, your wife and to your daughter, and they pour that same love out to everybody. Wow. And seeing that at Crest of Summit moved me just as much as talking with those men. And I shared that with your wife and daughter there, and it's true. I mean, that you guys are amazing people, amazing family, and keep on moving.
Well, glory to God. I appreciate that. And as I said earlier, it's not that we haven't figured out, but we're trying to follow the one that does, and you're too kind. But thank you, brother. Thank you guys for joining us for this episode of the Blood Brothers Podcast. Hopefully we'll be bringing you more sooner than later. I know we went on a brief pause there for a bit, but thank you for listening, for supporting us, and please share this with people in your life. I'm Ben Steiger. See you later.